Hello and welcome to a Collector Box Light episode on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I will be opening up a subscription box and discussing the contents. Okay, the box in front of me now is about 11 inches by about, almost 8, we'll say 7 and 3 quarters by about 2 and a quarter inches.
It says on it something we didn't order, but we still hope to like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it says loot anime, and I haven't looted any anime, I haven't ordered any loot anime.
We're placing bets on what's inside, but we just aren't sure, so I asked if we could open it. It does rattle.
We think they had just used this box in place of something else. We're thinking it's for the Star Trek box we ordered, but has been delayed. It was supposed to come out...
pre-Christmas.
I thought pre-Discovery. Wasn't it supposed to have something that was a...
It was supposed to have a CBS All Access 3-month either coupon, like discount
gift certificate or pass. Or something, yeah.
Which is part of why I've been disappointed with delays. I think it was originally, maybe it was a September release originally, and then it got pushed to December.
So whether that's this or not, we'll find out in just a sec. Shall we open it up?
Yes, please. Tissue paper?
black tissue paper. Doesn't even have a Starfield on it. How lame is that? This does appear to be the Star Trek thing. It is Star Trek socks.
They're crew socks.
From BioWorld.
They have little ships on them.
They have various Enterprise-type ships.
Well, so they do.
We have a cover of...
a comic?
Comic, yeah. I'm trying to think it's...
Did they pop the cover?
Well, no, that's the thing, is they didn't.
Oh.
It's a Star Trek Next Generation Mirror Broken Origin of Data comic. It's a Loot Crate exclusive, and I don't think it's necessarily an exclusive cover. It may be an exclusive content, because it doesn't seem to have, like, a regular issue number on it. I've been getting the Mirror Broken storyline. It's in the Mirror Universe, it's Next Generation, and it's that Picard stealing the Enterprise.
Well, there's a Star Trek Mission Crate thing on the back, and I was wondering if that would give any information that would be useful.
Well, that's the crate we had ordered that this is the precursor of.
But this is just an ad for it, in other words?
Yes.
Okay.
My point is, though, this may be potentially a different story than what I've read from the Mirror Broken stuff. And I don't recall there being an Origin of Data special for it, but I'd have to go check.
Something for you and Drew to discuss.
Potentially. I'm trying to think. If we may have actually discussed the first issue of this, of the Mirror Broken storyline, not that particular issue.
Well, I was thinking the exclusive, unique, collectability, that kind of thing.
I've threatened Drew with having that discussion with him at some point. I just haven't done the homework to get the list of all the exclusives and have any of them retain their value.
Aww.
This is a vanilla air freshener in the shape of the Vulcan hand salute for the car.
My car can live long and prosper in vanilla.
And we have a July 2016 Loot Pins Futuristic in the shape of the Vulcan hand salute. Were we still getting Loot Crate at that point?
No.
All right.
No. Because that was... about the point, I think, at which we did the gather all the crates, and we had canceled Loot Crate before we did the gathering of the crates.
I thought we did the gathering more around like an October-November time frame versus July. I don't think we got that. I just don't remember. All right. This is a Next Generation Loot Crate exclusive something or other.
I've always wanted a something or other.
Can you tell what that is before I open it?
No.
Hence the something or other. It is a...
galaxy-class ship.
Well, yeah, it's got, like, the side view cutout or whatever of the Enterprise with the decks or whatever, but it's incredibly tiny for my eyesight. And it's just, like, this black pouch or whatever. It is... bangs everything, getting the ruler out. About 5.5 inches by about 4.5 inches for the pouch. And I will open it up and find out what it is. It's very, it's wafer thin. It feels like stiffer than cardboard or whatever, but flat, and I'm not feeling any.
I don't think it's a magnet.
I don't think it's big enough to be like a metal thing to turn into the Enterprise.
Mm-mm.
It's shiny. It is the USS Enterprise dedication plaque, a small.
I can see replica. It reflecting on your face.
Here, let me get the light and blind you with it.
That's kind of cool. Okay, Gene Roddenberry, Rick Berman, Michael Piller got third billing, David Livingston, Robert Justman.
A lot of the cast, or not cast, Pierre but crew Lordson, members are listed there.
Susan Sackett, Michael Piller made Admiral, seeing if there are any other names that leap out at me. Michael Okuda is a doctor in Advanced Technologies Unit.
Yeah, he's probably the guy who put that together.
Yeah.
Okuda did all of the design work for like the interface and how the computers looked, among other things. All the deck plans or whatnot.
Yeah. That's kind of wild. I mean, I guess it's a really thick sticker.
I don't know if it's a sticker or actual plaque. It's still in a plasticky thing.
I guess that's what's throwing me.
Actually, it's got a peel back.
Oh, a protective layer.
Covering.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It is crazy shiny.
Yes, it is.
Hence the black case it was in to save the world from the... So clearly this was meant to...
Well, this was supposed to be something that if you had gotten this as a gift for someone, you would still have something to put to wrap up and put under the tree. So from that perspective, socks, air freshener, pen. Oh, and they did say that they were getting things from past crates to put in it. They very specifically said this was nothing new.
Yeah, this was not a new crate or whatever. It's a shame they couldn't even have a new box, though.
Yeah. And
the fact it said Loot Anime when I picked it up from the UPS store threw me a little.
But this was free as an apology for lateness.
Mm-hmm. Which I respect.
Yeah. You know, so, but I'm just trying to think through the whole expectations and, I mean, honestly, if you had put this under the tree for me, how would I have felt?
Mm-hmm.
I like the socks. The air freshener amuses me. The fact that the pin says 2016 would probably throw me.
I think if you realize, I mean, there should have been a little something in here of, hey, sorry for the delay.
Yeah.
We're on track for this vague time frame or something.
Well, if there had been some postcard in there of, the Star Trek mission crate is coming, look forward to it. Until then, here's something to whet your appetite.
Yeah.
Even something vague like that. So people had context. I think that would have helped.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, in terms of a something is better than nothing under the tree, I think this was a good idea.
Yes. No, and not a bad execution of it. The plaque or whatever, I think, is one of the cooler items for it.
Thinking through for people who celebrate Hanukkah, we're about halfway through Hanukkah when this arrived. So it still arrived in time for people to wrap up, even for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So I'll give them credit for that, too. So yeah.
And again, trying to apologize for the delays. This is not something they had to do, not something they were obligated to do, but it was a nice gesture.
I understand why they haven't sent out the CBS All Access cards in terms of people can still get a refund, so they don't want to send that out. But for people who were waiting for that to watch Discovery, these constant delays have got to be getting annoying. So that's my one big frustration with the Star Trek crate.
Well, and again, there's a Star Trek comic in here, so there is something tangible and not just a, hey, this is cool to look at.
That's very true. And that being some good, solid content is very awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think this is good.
I'm looking forward to the mission crates when they start coming.
Me too, yeah. And that's one that has quantum mechanics doing some of the contents, which is, to me, always a plus.
Absolutely. So anything else? We're good.
I think we're good.
Hi, Nathan here with the December 2017 comic Bento unboxing segment. The theme for this month's box from Comic Bento is Legacy. The email Comic Bento sent out talks about that there's a major franchise joins Comic Bento for the first time, an indie title that's as critically acclaimed as it is thought-provoking, a new story of new characters and old legacies, and a showdown between legendary legacy characters. I always like to have fun trying to guess what's in the box, so sometimes I actually take a look at John's reports on the Diamond sales list. Recently, some of the stuff coming in Comic Bento has been around the 1500 range on the sales. Sometimes the things that show up in these boxes, they aren't brand new things, and sometimes they're things from 5-6 years ago that should have no reason to be on the top 300 list right now. So sometimes when they do, usually Comic Bento sales are all they are on the Diamond top 300 list. Recently, they've been popping in around 1500 or so copies. So just kind of looking at that right now, I'm seeing Guardians 3000 volume 1. Kind of looking at that one description you had there of, you know, old characters in a new light or whatever. That's possibly could be the Guardians. Some other things around in that area are Superman versus Darkseid and Mad Max Fury Road. Usagi Yojimbo, that's potential, a major new franchise, possibly something that's critically acclaimed and thought-provoking, possibly. Anyway, those are just some of my wild guesses I have right now. So I've got the box here in front of me, so let me get out my scissors, slice it open. And let us see what we have. Let's toss the box away. Let's rip her open and see what we got. So first off, something, I don't think I even recognize this. Okay, this is Tumor by Joshua Hill, Fialkov, and Noel Toison. I do not know at all what this is, but it looks like it is a special Comic Bento edition. It's got the Comic Bento logo on the back of it. It's pretty thick. Let's see, just kind of flipping through. It's about 240 pages or so. Yeah, I have no clue what this is. Tumor, private investigator Frank Armstrong barely scrapes by in the Los Angeles underbelly until the big one hits his desk. Locate and retrieve the daughter of a drug kingpin, and he can finally afford more than $1 meatloaf. Unfortunately, the job offer arrives just as the symptoms of his fatal late-stage brain tumor intensify. Frank must find the target and keep her safe while time collapses. Family turns into a foe, and the specter of his murdered wife resurfaces in the eyes of a mobster's daughter. I really like Joshua Hale Fialkov. I've gotten some of his other books before. One thing that showed up in Comic Bento a few years ago is called The Life After. It's a little indie book he did from Oni Press. It's got an interesting take on the afterlife and everything and how it's really just run by middle management. So anyway, I'm looking forward to this. I don't know anything really about Noel Toison, but this, I just read the name of the writer. I'm enthused about that one. Next one from Zenoscope. Van Helsing versus the Mummy of Amun-Ra. By Pat Shand, Mark Rosette, and Walter Perea. Let's see. After facing a devastating personal loss, Lizelle Van Helsing wages war against a supernatural threat in New York City with a new level of fury. However, an enemy from Lizelle's past is back with power unlike any enemy the vampire hunter has ever faced. To defeat this new foe, Lizelle must grapple both with her horrific past and her dismal future if she hopes to emerge from this battle alive. Collects issues 1-6 of Van Helsing versus the Mummy of Amun-Ra. Don't know anything about this. It's the Lizelle Van Helsing looking all sexy and everything and a bustier on the front. So typical Zenoscope artwork, I would assume. Yeah. As I'm kind of flipping through, yeah. The artwork, interior artwork is never as salacious as Zenoscope's covers. But let's see. This one was published back in, this is from this year, 2017. I will give this one a look. Last month I read something from Zenoscope, one of their Grim Fairy Tale collections. They do some interesting takes on, old school characters like that and everything. Oh, and here's the next one. This is one I've been wanting to get and wanting to read. Very apropos for right now, but, it is, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, the comic book adaptation. Oh, very nice. I've been wanting to read this by Jody Hauser, Dwayne Cizerski, Emilio Liso, Oscar Bolzadois. Yeah, Rachel Rosenberg, Marcelo Mayo, I butchered some of those names, I'm sure. But I've been wanting to see this or read this. I loved Rogue One so much. I loved it so much more than The Force Awakens. And so I've seen this one multiple times. I even made a point when I was out in L.A. About 9 months ago to go see, or 10 months ago to go see it at the Big Graham's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. That theater is amazing. But anyway, I loved this movie, and I'm really looking forward to reading the comic book adaptation. Side note, I just saw the new Episode 8, The Last Jedi, the other day, and I really enjoyed that one too. So, and let's get to our last book. This is Conan and the Songs of the Dead by Joe R. Lansdale and Timothy Truman. Let's see. This is from Dark Horse. This one came out in... I have a feeling this one might have been... 2007. So this one's from... This one's about 10 years old now. I've never been a huge Conan reader. Respect it. I enjoyed the movies when I was a kid and everything. Loved Red Sonja. So, I mean, this one will be an interesting look to... take a look through. I do like Timothy Truman's art. It's got a little bit of a gritty, simplistic look to it. But I don't really know anything about Joe Lansdale. I don't know if I can see what he's been up to. Let's see here. Look at the summary on the back. In the harsh deserts of Stygia, a sorcerer grasps for the immortal power that lies beneath the shifting sands. In his way stands Conan and his unlikely allies. Alvazar, a rogue interested in little more than wine, women, and more wine, and Oala, daughter of a mystical order of warrior women sworn to retrieve a very dangerous book. Says Joe Lansdale is a renowned horror and Western writer, so I don't know how much comic work he's actually done, but I know Timothy Truman's done quite a bit of comic book work over the years. Okay, and so that's what we have here. Actually, kind of flipping back, I was curious when this Tumor book from Joshua Hale Fialkov came out. This one came out in August of 2016, so that one's only about a year old. So you've got... three of these are all within the last year, and then they found this Conan in the discount bin in the back of the distributor somewhere, probably. So, but anyway, overall, I'm actually pretty pleased with this month. I have not read any of these books. That's actually a nice little bonus compared to last month. Last month had a huge stack of books, had 6 books in it, which I've only gotten through reading 2 of them. But part of that is also because I had actually already read the prior 4. One of the 3 of those 6 books were for the Runaways comic book by Brian K. Vaughan. It was the volume 4, 5, and 6, which is pretty much the second run of the series. I enjoyed that. I've been enjoying the new Runaways TV series. I advise everyone to check that out if they ever like the Runaways comic book. But anyway, that's about all I got for you for this month. December 2017 Comic Bento, you got the Rogue One Star Wars adaptation, Van Helsing versus the Mummy of Amun-Ra, Conan and the Songs of the Dead, and Tumor by Joshua Hale Fialkov and Noel Tawazan. Anyway, that's what I got for you for this month. Hope you listen in next month. Thanks. Bye.
So, what is the box in front of me now?
It's your Christmas present.
This is from Mom? Dad?
Mom and Dad. It replaces the Christmas present that didn't work.
It is a charging stand alarm clock that supports iOS and Android devices. So this will work both with...
It'll work with anything that charges off USB. There's a diagram on the side of the box that shows the back. So you can see how power plugs in. Then there's a place to plug in the USB.
I see.
And then the cable can either... It's got like a little chase tunnel. So it can go through the bottom.
Go ahead and open this up real quick. So this should work both with my phone and with either the Nook or the Kindle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can either put the cable through the bottom and it's got a little thing to kind of hold it. Or you can just have the cable coming over the top and then it's got a little piece of Velcro to help you coil excess cable.
That's what this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you need to get the white box out of the very bottom of the box where it's really hard to get it out because that's the charging for it. So, for those who actually paid attention and know we got the Nook stand for the Nook.
Yeah, I suppose we ought to update on that. We got that and I'd gotten it to my desk. I hadn't gotten around to plugging it in yet. And you're like, yep, we're going to have to return them. Like, that was fast. Apparently, there are multiple types of Nooks. And we got, even though from the Barnes & Noble website, it implied it would work,
It said this is a suggested item for people who have purchased the Nook Tablet 7. And other people who have purchased this Nook Tablet 7 have purchased this item, so we know you'll want it. So we ordered it, and it arrived, and it connects to...
The Nook Not number 7.
Yes.
And it was funny, because after that, we went to a Barnes & Noble to find a case for it.
Yes.
And nearly walked out of up to the register with the wrong kind of case.
Yeah.
Because they had a whole bunch of them on display. This looked good. The one next to it's a different color. Oh, wait, that's for the glow light versus the Nook 7 versus the Nook whatever. So if you're getting a Nook, pay particular attention to which model you're getting and making sure your accessories kind of match that. So this is a plug. Does it have a USB thing?
Wait, on the back side is where you plug in the USB cable. And then you can either bring it up top to charge what you're doing, or if what you're using charges on the bottom, you can feed it through.
Got
the hole in the bottom. I've only had mine for one day because, you know, I had Christmas sooner than you did. The only minor frustration I have is I used it for my Nook, which is in a case.
Oh.
And the case made it that little bit thicker.
Yeah.
So it's now resting up by the snooze bar instead of falling down into the slot behind.
Okay. Well, I may just end up setting this up by my computer. So I've got a place mm-hmm. to put it or something.
Yeah, and I think almost all of our devices now charge at the top.
Yeah.
So it worked out real convenient for me.
So cool. Anything else on this one?
I think that does it.
Awesome. Okay, the box in front of me now is the world's finest box. This is the non-Funko DC-powered box.
I believe you.
I'm going to go with the subtle stars and stuff on the side. The WW logo on the top is saying it's Wonder Woman themed.
I like your thinking.
Not the least bit subtle, but actually it's a nice box.
It's a beautiful box.
It is a large box, 13.5 inches in one direction, 9 inches in another, and a little over 5 inches tall.
Nice.
And no doubt I did some of that just completely off mic, because like I said, it's a big box. All right, shall we open it up?
Please.
Take the answer key, put it aside for a moment.
Oh, you're such a spoil sport.
We have, a very nice, and I think this is your size, because it's a medium.
Oh, but I like it.
Black t-shirt with an Alex Ross Wonder Woman doing the bullets and bracelets thing.
Yeah, that's sharp looking.
Very nice shirt and good feel to it.
Yeah, soft and thick enough.
That's a definitely you could wear that at a con. Or anywhere else kind of a deal.
It's, yeah, that's very nice.
So high marks on that. It feels like a better quality shirt than most boxes.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of them feel quite thin, whereas this has a bit of heft to it.
And certainly it is on par with like the Arctify shirts.
Yes, definitely.
Right, the next is the... we got Wonder Woman bracelets and headband for like joggers or whatever.
That's adorable. I can see you in them, too.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's funny because they've got the Wonder Woman logo on the bracelets versus being a bit more of just kind of what the standard star and shield or, you know, whatever it would design
yes.
to look like.
Yes.
So it's thematic, not cosplay, if you will.
Right. No, to me, it looks more like a kid would love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is interesting, and I'm curious how well this would work out.
Is that an ice mold? What is that?
It is an Invisible Jet ice cube tray.
Oh, yes!
And you could do 4 of them. And what I'm wondering is, 1, how well do they turn out? And 2, how practical are these to have a plane-shaped thing in your cup?
I can see little kids wanting it to fly along the top.
Does it float? Does it go nose down, tail up?
Oh, that's awesome!
How does that play out? And do the wings fall off when it melts? I mean, I'm curious on the mechanics of this.
That's very cool. Let's see. That's from Culture Fly, mm-hmm. which I think we figured out was one of the companies connected to
yeah.
the box. That's and very cool.
The shirt might have been... Was that a Culture Fly?
Yes, it was.
All right. Next up, we've got a tin, which is Wonder Woman 75 for 75th anniversary. It's a set of 12 postcards. Based on the back, it looks like they are cover reproductions.
other side.
It's a hinged box.
I was helping.
Getting the glasses on real quick. I'm not going to give the cover numbers because some of them are really tiny. Two of them are the same. There are sets of two. Okay, interesting. One of them's Wonder Woman 72 from a more recent run. We've got Sensation Comics. We've got another early Wonder Woman.
So two each of six?
Looks like two each of six.
Okay.
And honestly, some of these are not even the ones I would have gone with.
Now, I will say, because of the way they came in the tin can, I can see dented corners.
Yeah, they're a little banged in the corners. It's a rounded tin, and they're squared off postcards that fit just loose enough to get banged around a little.
Yeah.
I would have gone with at least a George Perez cover. I would have gone with the cover of her in the white jumpsuit, because that was a major turning point for the character. Probably would have gone with Wonder Woman 300. There are a couple of, I think, more iconic and classic covers. Those aren't bad. They felt random.
I wonder if they were trying to do one from each decade as opposed to...
I didn't get that feeling because, again, not a single one by Perez.
Okay, interesting.
We've got a Do Not Microwavable mug.
Lasso of Truth mug.
Yes.
This is what happens when we can see totally different sides of the box. Well, that's cute. Okay, for a girl. I should specify that.
Well, and it's, I guess, at first I'm like, where's the lasso? It is a mug that is as if the lasso's been wrapped around it with what feels like a slightly cattywampus Wonder Woman logo at the end opposite the handle.
Yeah, I mean, it is gold and blinged up, hence my comment of it would look great on a girl's desk.
Blinged up is a good description. We've got another tin can thing, which seems to have two pins, one with a archaic Wonder Woman, one with, it looks like the tiara, and then the Wonder Woman kind of...
So three pins.
Logos, yeah, three.
Okay, interesting.
We've got I'm going to measure this box inside just because then I want to tell you what it is. This thing is about 4.5 inches wide, almost 6.5 inches tall, and a little over 3 inches deep. Sword and Shield letter opener.
Ooh, the picture on the back looks awesome.
And yeah, I hadn't seen that. And I'm like, how could this be a letter opener? It's huge.
Okay, this belongs on a desk.
It is a stand with the shield and then the sword inside of it kind of, or behind it. The shield comes off, the sword, well, that's interesting. All right, hang on.
Use your third and fourth hand.
So the stand has an inset for the shield to fit on. And behind the shield is the sword that doubles as that is the letter opener. And it's got some heft to it.
Nice. I like that.
I am wondering the scale of this.
Where's your Captain America shield?
I was thinking more in terms of like a 6-inch action figure. Because the sword is 4.5 inches. Does the sword have a front and a back? Looks equally directional. And the shield, I'm going to say 3 inches in diameter. So in addition to being a letter opener, it would be interesting to see how it scales with some action figures.
Yeah. I was thinking we had the Captain America.
We do shield. Have those. I'm not sure where I put those because I got the, I forget which company it was, but I got them at Con 1 year. And then we also got, for a steal, I'd gotten the two for the movies.
Yeah.
The classic Cap shield, and then I guess either the blue one or whatever from Winter Soldier. But then they had the triangular kind of badge shield or whatever, which is, I think, a little smaller than this.
Okay, yeah. I was just thinking that, you know, put three or four of them together, they'd make a great little display.
But the letter opener aspect of that is kind of cool. The fact it may also potentially double for a sword and shield for an action figure is an added bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
So at first I'm like, how can this be so big? Granted, the packaging is some of it too.
And there's more.
But not much after this. Nothing after this. And then what we have here is World's Finest exclusive vinyl figure of Wonder Woman, complete with a WWE Shield stand behind her. She's got the shield, she's got the sword, so... but she looks like Wonder Woman?
Yes.
There's some takes on Wonder Woman where it's like, that may as well be Xena. This is another Culture Fly thing. So, nice looking figure. If I go back to the postcard...
Yeah, the Lair Opener was Culture Fly also.
So, I'm trying to think if there... Yeah, that's the sweatband set, the t-shirt, the postcards, the enamel pin set, the ice mold, the Sword and Shield letter opener, the mug, the vinyl figure with a nice Wonder Woman logo on the back of it. This is some good stuff.
It is. Yeah.
This is part of why I'm liking this box a lot more than the Legion of Collectors stuff.
Yeah. The letter opener and the ice molds are the big hit for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is awesome.
And again, the t-shirt.
The t-shirt's wonderful. Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to figure out why the t-shirt's my size, not your size, because I was sure we put your size on it. But that's something we'll check later.
I don't remember. We'll have to check that. Yeah, I thought we'd put it on your size for some reason.
That's interesting. We'll check. The action figure is very nice. I like the pins, but I'm a little surprised that the way they presented them, you can't see them through the clear
display. Yeah, the presentation of the pins is not good. It's a vinyl figure, not an action figure.
Oh, good point. Good point.
It's non-posable. It's in a pose.
Yeah, and that's what threw me. I think the only thing... Well, I go back to the mug is... I wouldn't put it on your desk, but that's me.
No, but I can think of some people whose desk it would fit.
Yes, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it has a targeted audience. And then the postcards, I'm just a little bummed they got dinged up.
And to me, I think they're more iconic covers they could have and should have gone with.
Yeah.
I'd have to give some thought, but if I were going to do a set of 6 or 12, and frankly, I would have tried to do 12, I would have tried to find covers that are key moments in the character's history. Mm-hmm. And the Sensation Comics may have been the first appearance. I don't think it was. But again, there's some others that come to mind.
Well, and that's what got me wondering if they had tried for one a decade or something along those lines. So, but no, I think this is a great box.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm pleased with this one, and it may be what bumps the Legion of Collectors off. I think we're going to give that one more shot and see what happens. But this has much cooler stuff.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, the package in front of me now is the Arctify package for December 2017. It's a 8.5 by 11-ish a bright shiny pouch, silverish. Open it up, see what it is.
Please.
It is a kind of a rust reddish shirt with a baby Groot holding a string of Christmas lights.
Yeah, he's very happy.
Yeah. It's actually somewhere, I would say, aged between the baby Groot and teenage Groot.
Yeah.
Because he's out of the planter or whatever. It's a very festive twist on the whole Christmas tree motif. And one that I think will probably hold up well over time in terms of iconicness of the character Groot.
I think so, too. Yeah, because they hit the point at which everybody just thinks Groot's so adorable.
And on the back, it's got, in red letters on a... kind of a heathered red background, rocking around the galaxy with a big green, not big, but a green Guardians of the Galaxy emblem.
Yeah.
So in case people didn't get it on the first pass, they can look at the back and get some more clues. So again, I'm happy with the shirts. They're good quality. They're good design. They're clever.
Yeah, under $13 a month. I think it's a good deal.
Yeah, definitely good value. The box in front of me now is from Amazon.com. And for those of you who don't know, it's got something to do, I guess, with what, the rainforest or something? No, I'm kidding. It's obviously one of the biggest retail things in pretty much, I guess, the galaxy or whatever. And we had bought one or two things that may seem like a little bit of an odd thing in this day and age. But hey, I'm retro. But also, we've got an upcoming trip for much later in the year, October-ish timeframe, that we thought this might come in handy for.
Mm-hmm.
So, opening up the box, getting the pre-deflated airbag.
Yeah, that explains why the package rattled.
Yeah, I think it works so well. We've got one each. And let me get this out just to that out of the way. What we got is, and we tend to get matching toys like this. Oh, so I think it pulls out. These are iPod Touches, and we got it with 128 gigs. We could put our entire music libraries and stuff on it, plus some videos or whatever. And a lot of people may be thinking, why get an MP3 player in this day and age?
People actually tried to talk me out of it.
Well, and I can understand that because I used to have, we had what, old school iPad, iPods. Or iPod with the, still the circular.
Yeah, the spin interface. Wheel thing.
And it had a fair amount of space and it did pretty well until it stopped working. We went to the Apple store and this was a couple of years back and they referred to it as vintage.
Yes.
And since then, I've got a Honda CR-V that I could just plug a USB drive into and play my music that way. So it's not like we've had a major need for it, but we're planning on going on a trip that's going to be of a decent duration. And being able to take our entire music library with us and have it the entire time is highly advantageous for us.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the fact that we could put some TV shows, since we're perennially behind on TV and stuff, take some Blu-rays, get them on here, whatever, gives us a lot of options for both the travel time on the trip and just from other aspects on that.
Yeah, I wanted something pocket size. I did want something separate from my phone, I'll admit, because my phone goes through its battery fast enough already. I don't need to be adding more things to my phone that are going to kill the battery.
We're recording this at 8:40 in the evening, and my cell phone is at 37%. And I fully charge it every night.
Yeah.
And part of it is I've got a couple of new apps I'm having to use for some stuff that's no doubt draining it. But as a celiac, somebody with celiac disease, my phone is kind of my lifeline in terms of finding nearby places that are gluten-free. When I go grocery shopping, being able to scan stuff to find if it's gluten-free, things of that nature. So having something where I can offload the music and video playing type stuff to another device,
mm-hmm.
plus a device that's just got a ton of storage.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally should be able to fit my entire music library onto there and have plenty of space left over.
Yeah. For me, it seemed practical and useful.
Well, practical and useful, and the why now versus later kind of a thing is we're at that point where certain devices, like, say, an MP3 player, they've lost their shelf life.
Yeah.
I think we're some of the few people who are actually, you know, getting these sorts of things these days. There's a vintage aspect to that, I suppose. But again, since there's so many other ways to do it, be it your cell phone or whatever, it's something that they're no longer making new models or whatever mm-hmm. of some of these things. And they're going to get harder and harder to come by.
Yeah.
So we had enough of a need for one, and certainly the upcoming trip makes a lot of sense, but also just going to Comic-Con and things like that. It's nice to have a really small pocket-sized media player.
Yeah.
That you can have in a coat pocket or even a shirt pocket if you need to on a plane. Because even a small tablet or whatever, sometimes those airline trays or whatever are really tiny, and the person in front of you leans back, you got no space.
Well, I'll admit, I looked at both the iPad and the iPad Mini when I was trying to decide, okay, I'm looking for something that will sync with my iTunes library, and I've been given some iBooks over the years, and I have no device that I can read iBooks on. Mm-hmm. So these are my two requirements. So I looked at the iPad Mini, and the iPod Touch. And I just felt that the iPad was almost duplicating what my tablets and my Kindle do.
Yeah.
And the iPad Mini, as small as it is, felt big for what I wanted.
Well, and the only Apple device I've ever had in my personal ecosystem is the iPod.
And a Nano.
Well, and a Nano, which is a variant of an iPod.
Yeah.
But as music players or whatever, I've not had a personal... I mean, I've had a work machine a time or two that are Apples and Macs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not into that ecosystem. And yeah. I'm happy with the Windows platform. And I've also got Android stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm very happy with my cell phone. And I didn't want my cell phone to also become my MP3 player.
So if we travel with a Surface, any one of our tablets that's Android, and this, are we now a multi-denominational kind of a... Just saying.
There you go.
So it'll take a little time. We got to charge these things up. Obviously, we've played with the iPod before, but not the touchscreen version of it. I'm looking forward to playing with that. And yeah.
Yeah, see how it goes.
So every once in a while, like I said, we buy some new toys and whatnot, and figured it'd be worth sharing on the episode.
Yeah, and I think the battery life should be pretty decent on this for a long flight.
Now, I have switched to Media Monkey instead of iTunes, and I may see if I can get that to sync to this.
Oh, interesting.
Because I kind of like it better than the iTunes interface, but we'll see.
Interesting. Okay.
Hi, Nathan here again with the January 2018 Comic Bento unboxing segment. The theme for this month's box that Comic Bento sent me in an email is Beginnings. This month we debut our new look boxes. The boxes actually just look a little different, a little updated, nothing crazy. Same size box and everything, just a different little picture on the front. Apparently Comic Bento is the original graphic novel subscription box. I haven't heard of any other ones, so maybe they're the only one too, I don't know. But anyway, this box is themed Beginnings and Stories. It says stories range from fantasy to sci-fi to action-adventure to weird. One of 2017's biggest critical darlings. Four different publishers introducing new worlds, characters, and stories. Great books that are both good additions to the comic collection or great places to start one. So, excited to get this one. I was actually a little worried my box wasn't coming. I hadn't received my normal tracking email and everything. And so a few days ago, all of a sudden, I emailed Comic Bento, and apparently a snowplow had plowed into and ripped their fiber optic line, so they weren't able to send out all their tracking emails and such. But anyway, the same day I sent them the query email, the box came in the mail. So the box wasn't delayed at all, but kind of funny story. Being a Canada company, I guess, you got to worry about these things in Canada. So, but anyway, here we go. Let's open up the box and let's see what we have here. Okay, we have four books. The first book on the top of the list is called Knight's Dominion, Volume 1, by Ted Naifa, N-A-I-F-E-H, Ted Naifa. Looks to be some kind of fantasy novel. Let's see. A thief, a bard, an assassin, a mage, and a cleric walk into a bar. It starts out like any other adventure, a grand plan to steal treasure from the mighty tower of Ulum, where cultists worship their death god but otherwise keep themselves. An easy mark for the knight, Umber's greatest thief, and the rest of her companions. An old bard, a crooked mage, a lowly acolyte, and a disgraced assassin. But when they storm the tower, it's not treasure that they find. It's something much more sinister. Something that could destroy the whole world of Umber. Okay. From Oni Press. Let's see. When did this one come? Written and illustrated by Ted Naif. This is volume one, so maybe it's a continuing story. First edition was in June 2017, so this is a recent book. Kind of flipping through. The artwork's got a little bit of a... trying to think of a comparison. A cleaner Mike Mignola, maybe? Obviously some fantasy elements, kind of a little Middle Eastern kind of background and setting it looks like. So, this one looks pretty interesting. I'm actually kind of, this one, I don't know anything about this one, but it looks good so far from the cover and the back read. Our next book is The Courier by Ralph Tedesco, J.G. Miranda, and Brian Valenza from Zenoscope. I've kind of badmouthed Zenoscope a little bit in the past, kind of for their grim fairy tales, sexy ladies and stuff. But, you know, when I get some of their stuff that's not their grim fairy tale line, they're decent. You know, they're decent to good. This one's got a very creepy-looking cover on it. The Courier from the Ashes. 80 years in the future, a large majority of humanity has been wiped out by a man-made virus that also spawned new subhuman species. Highly guarded stronghold cities were built to keep the rich, privileged, and able-bodied safe from the monstrous beings. But the vast wasteland between these newly erected cities is a frightening free-for-all where anything goes. Couriers, willing to risk life and limb on every run they take, are paid handsomely to deliver goods between the strongholds, and Eve Harper is the best there is. This is her story. This collects issues 1 through 5 of The Courier from the Ashes. This one came out in, first edition, December 2017. So this is a recent one, obviously. Let's see. Let's start flipping through. Female lead. Yeah, I see some kind of post-apocalyptic crazy mutants, motorcycles, and, you know, burned out post-apocalyptic looking towns and everything. So, I don't know. This one looks looks pretty interesting to me. I'm fairly excited to take a look at this one. So, the cover is quite freaky. It looks like a weird biker helmet with goggles with like claw teeth, and then some kind of weird robot with swords on it. So, kind of hard to describe, but looks interesting. Oh, the next one. This is a great addition to my Valiant collection. Comic Bento has been really good. I've built up quite a collection over in doing this thing for Comic Bento for 2.5 years now. I've probably got about 15 or so different Valiants. So probably half the time I'm getting a Valiant book. And I've actually read this one. This is volume one of Exo Manowar, the most recent, the new story. I've already read this. I've checked it out from the library, but wow, did I love this one. Exo Manowar, the current series. I never actually finished up the original Exo Manowar series, but somehow for this new series, he's trying to live the quiet life on some alien world, and he gets pulled in, like drafted into some crazy war where he's expected to be cannon fodder, but he ends up really, you know, obviously it's Exo Manowar, so he wins the day and wins all the battles, and it is it's a great story. The volume one only collects 3 issues, issues 1 through 3, but it is great. One of the biggest highlights of this is the artwork by the artwork was Tomas Giorello. I really loved his artwork in this. Very gruesome, got a gritty style to it. I know volume two was Doug Braithwaite, and I loved volume two so much too. So I'm actually happy. I just actually read volume two a couple weeks ago, but I will definitely go back and reread this one. I actually really love that one. So, oh, and our fourth book is a Marvel book. Oh, and as the description said, it's definitely weird. This is Weird World War Zones, volume zero by Jason Aaron and Mike Del Mundo. This is one of the Secret Wars, during Secret Wars a few years ago, one of the many mini-series that they were doing at that time. Yeah, I love Jason Aaron. Mike Del Mundo's art is I'm trying to describe it. I'm bad at the descriptions, but it's got a definitely not your usual art style. But it was a decent little story. I read this about a year or two ago. I got it from the library on a whim. But I mildly enjoyed it. I don't think I ever actually enjoyed it enough to actually read the regular series that happened after Secret Wars. But I'll give this one a read again. Maybe it might pique my interest a second time around. This one collects Weird World 1 through 5. This was printed back in 2015. So anyway, that is your Comic Bento box for January 2018. You've got The Courier from Zenoscope. You've got Knight's Dominion, Volume 1 from Ani Press. You've got Exo Manowar, Volume 1 from Valiant. And you've got Weird World, War Zones, Secret Wars miniseries from Marvel Comics. All in all, this looks like a good month. There's nothing in here that I'm groaning at or anything like that. So I'm excited to take a look at these. Just kind of a quick look back at last month, the books that I got last month in December. A couple good ones. Actually, they were all pretty good. And a couple good ones, a couple okay ones. The okay one was a Van Helsing versus the Mummy of Amun-Ra. That's one of the Zenoscopes. It's actually kind of part of their Grim Fairy Tale line, but it really didn't tie in too much. This deals with the famous Van Helsing vampire hunter, his daughter in the modern age, and she's now kind of a Indiana Jonesy vampire hunter-y kind of person. So, decent one. It inspired me or got me to check out another one from the library. Decent lead character. I liked her. Another one was Conan and the Songs of the Dead. That was written by Joe Lansdale and art by Timothy Truman and Darren Fabric. I'm not a big Conan reader, but I enjoyed this one. It was a nice little done-in-one kind of story. Just very, very gruesome, very sexy Conan style, Frank Frazetta style, women in it. But, you know, magic and battles and everything. It was a decent read. One of the other ones was the Marvel Star Wars Rogue One adaptation. I actually like that one. I loved Rogue One. It was my favorite of all the new Star Wars movies. And actually, one of the things I liked about the comic book was that it had little extra little things that were in the movie that you can kind of read in and maybe a little extra story in there. Not a lot, but just little things. The other one, actually one of my favorites in the whole box was Tumor from Oni Press, written by Joshua Hale Fialkov and art by Noel Tuazon. That was a great little detective story about a detective who's developing a brain tumor, and he's kind of flashing back and forth in his mind between his old life from years ago with his deceased wife and his current life where he's trying to find a missing woman. That was a very good story. I love Joshua Hale Fialkov. So all in all, last month's box was a good box, and I'm looking forward to this next month's box. So that's all I got for you now, and I'll see you next month.
Okay, the package in front of me now is not a box. It's an actual envelope-y kind of a package thing from Loot Crate. Now, people who've listened to these episodes for since the beginning would know we used to do Loot Crate, haven't done it in a while, and have not signed back up for it. What we did do, though, is a while ago they had a sale on some of the stuff in the Loot Vault, and we looked around and said, oh, a few of those things looked interesting. And that was 2 months ago?
Sounds about right.
Long enough ago that I've forgotten what we got.
And Loot Crate helps power the Firefly cargo crate.
Yeah, they're still a good company. It's just we weren't getting enough out of the Loot Crates themselves, but they'd occasionally have cool stuff. And being able to pick up some of that cool stuff through the Loot Vault, particularly at a discount, it's like that's hard to pass up.
Yes.
Because then you can pick and choose what you want. So the first item we have is one at a time. This is a this was one of the shirts you liked. It's a Firefly Let's Moon 'em with the Firefly going in front of the Imperial Alliance starship or whatever.
Yeah, charcoal gray, and playing off of their wanting to show the back of the Firefly ship to them.
Now the other shirt we got in my size because I liked it. It's a blue one, and it's like a technical schematic of Captain America's shield. The front, the back, the side, and stuff like that. And I just think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm a big Cap fan, and the shield's iconic. The other one we got was in your color, or your size. The color is black. And it is the Lassiter Laser Pistol Mark I schematic, again from Firefly. That was the, did somebody develop a laser gun sort of thing in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
So very cool.
There's more.
It would be funny, though, at a Comic-Con for you to wear that one, that schematic, when I've got the Cap schematic.
We're at war, and John's trying to defend himself.
All right. Next up, we got one each, and it was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I believe it was the badge that Patton Oswalt's character was having them do at the end of the first season.
Oh, it was quite a while ago, so it may have been, But, you know, everybody had to have their badge on their lanyard to get into the secret hidden base.
So that was worth doing. And hidden in the bottom, you actually get the lanyard, too.
Oh, nice. Okay, so we can actually wear it. Nice.
And we've got Luke Vault, Everyone's a Winner discount code. So if we want to get a little bit more stuff, we can do that.
And, you know, I gotta say, I do like the Loot Vault. I mean, I'm sure from their perspective, it's a dealing with overstock.
Oh, absolutely. Aspect.
But I really like the, if there was something in, like in our case, in the Firefly crate, where you got the shirts and I said, hey, that's a good looking shirt. These, as I recall, they hit them on a after Christmas $5 sale.
Yeah. And the other stuff we got the one time, and I don't remember if we recorded about it or not, was, I think, the classic original Captain America shield. Not the round one, but the other one.
Yeah.
A small replica thing that matches the same. It's the EFX company, I think it was.
Yeah.
That did the replicas I picked up at Comic-Con.
Yeah, they do some real nice stuff. So being able to pick and choose instead of having the mystery crate aspect, if there are things you see and really like, it's a nice feature.
Well, and if you listen to a podcast or a YouTube video or whatever, or somebody tells you, hey, I just got this cool thing in a Loot Crate, check out their website. You may be able to buy just that one thing that sounded good to you.
Yeah.
Anything else on this?
I think you're good.
So the box in front of me now is the Firefly fly cargo crate. See, I can't speak.
No, you can't.
It is about 11 inches by about 7 1/4 by about, we'll say 6 inches. Reflective ruler. Have this shipped to the UPS store. I always comment how the UPS store puts their big old label on top of the label on the box. I don't know if they've started listening because they've threatened to a time or two. But this time, the Eaves Down Docks sticker is on the other side.
Nice. So
either the UPS store has started listening and puts the sticker on the other side, or the people who do the box have started listening and put the sticker on the other side. I just don't know which sticker has moved or if it was dumb luck.
Or if Firefly's cargo crate put it on both sides?
No, I was trying to feel if there was one on the other under the sticker.
Okay.
Normally enough sticks out, but it's a smaller sticker. Eaves Down Docks. Which episode was that?
I can't do it from memory.
That's not the one where they rob the hospital.
Oh, with Ariel. Or might be just Ariel is the title. That's possible.
Let's find out.
Okay.
All right. First up, we've got the t-shirt in, I think, my size. I have got to get my eyes checked. Real crooks wear a suit and tie, referencing Weasel. No. What was his character's name?
Mark Shepard.
Mark Shepard.
Yes.
Hence asking, what was the character name?
Oh.
And we have rewatched is the sad thing.
The sadder thing is I keep coming up with his character name on Leverage, Sterling, which isn't the one. No, not Sterling.
It's not his character from Doctor Who either.
Well, we could do a lot of his characters. It isn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the problem with him doing too much good work.
I'm blanking on it. I hate that. I'm having memory issues.
It's a gray shirt with black text. I like it.
Well, and the suit and tie doubles as like a collar and like where you'd have a button-up shirt, kind of like a tie sort of a deal. Yeah. And it's got the bowler hat and stuff.
Yeah, it's a good-looking shirt.
All right. Go for one of the bigger items next. Badger.
Badger.
Name was Badger.
I don't know how you figured that out.
I was close. Pulling out the Little Damn Heroes QMX Mini Masters figure, unsurprisingly, it's Badger. And it's got him with the bowler hat and all of that.
It's a good pose for him, too.
This is one I would like to see a YouTube video of him seeing this for the first time.
Yes, yes.
Because it's not that often, I think, actors get their likenesses and their character kind of memorialized in this sort of way. It's more common now than it used to be.
He's got a kid now who's like a toddler. Her reaction to it would be priceless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his would be fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
He is one of the three characters, I think, that recurred.
Yeah.
Him, Liska, I think it was. And Miska. Miska, you're right. And
Mrs. Reynolds.
Mrs. Reynolds. Okay, next up, we've got the Cubit Series 2 PVC figure. It can be a mystery, so.
It's a red shadow or a black shadow.
It's either a red shadow or seven tiny black shadows. This is Mal.
Oh, nice.
It looks as if it's Mal guest starring on the Peanuts, but...
That's so funny, because I was going to say it's Mal gone Charlie Brown.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh, but he's cute.
I'm actually surprised nobody's done a little version, you know, again, like this is, again, the Cubits thing, but a elementary school version of Firefly. Certain characters would go better than others.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would handle a Nara.
Oh, yeah.
Cheerleader.
Yes.
Okay, this is a box with an ostrich on it?
Yeah.
Ah, it's Badger's Family Heirloom Flamingo Pin. I would not have guessed that. Is he wearing that on the cube?
No, he's got a pin, a brooch up on his shoulder, but it's not the flamingo. That was the first thing I went looking for. It's like you can read my mind.
And it's fancy.
It is.
Glittery gold color, very vibrant.
You know, they
if we don't see this on somebody at a convention, I'd be surprised.
That or they have an event called the Browncoats Ball, which raises money for charity.
That would definitely be something somebody would wear there, and appropriately so.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really respect about Browncoats, is how much money they raise for charity through their fandom.
Yeah. Well, Joss Whedon engenders a strong fandom, and the fact that the fandom really, I think, stands up for good causes.
Yeah.
And then we've got the actual sticker to use, not just to see.
And the postcard for the Versus Hub for Ease Down Docks, a postcard that's an actual one you could probably use. And then finally, the Signal, with the cover feature items being an Easy Badger cosplay and mini pork pie recipe. And flipping through, we've got the pictures of everybody who's opened their other stuff. And oh, a nice one of the collection of the figures.
Oh, nice. That is nice.
What you need for the cosplay, basically a suit. Really not much. The bowler hat's probably the hard part. How to speak Mandarin, again, a couple of key phrases or whatever. What's in this one? This feels a little thinner than I think some of the past ones have been.
Some of the past have had trivia interviews.
And it would have been nice to have had an interview with Mark Sheppard.
Unfortunately, he's a busy actor.
He is. I'm sure he'd be willing to do it. The question, I would hope, but the question is, could he squeeze in the time?
Yeah, because he's very busy with Supernatural, etc.
That's right. He's been on that.
Yeah.
Just, again, between being on Leverage, Doctor Who, Firefly, he's... I'd be hard-pressed to name a season that he hasn't been on something.
Yeah.
Not that we haven't seen him, because we don't watch, like, Supernatural and such, but...
But even though I don't watch it, I'm very aware he's out there and working on it,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a credit to him in terms of how he makes sure people know, here's what I'm doing, here's how to find me.
Well, and in a way that doesn't seem like he's overly self-promoting?
No, just sharing the fun.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and I've really enjoyed him on the various shows we've seen him on.
Yeah, he was so much fun on Leverage.
Yeah.
Leverage is a show I highly recommend to people.
At some point, hopefully in the not too distant future, I think he's going to be, if not the lead, a lead character on a show.
Yeah.
Because he certainly got the charisma for it and certainly the acting chops, no doubt.
Leverage is a show we've never recorded about, but should consider.
That would be fun. Particularly after having done The Librarians, where Christian Kane is on that.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised most of the other actors haven't really gone on to do some other stuff that we watch. They may be doing other stuff, but nothing I'm particularly aware of.
Yeah.
We'll have to put Leverage on the list behind all the current shows we're watching, all the movies we're behind on.
The infamous list.
Some point when I get old enough to retire and have some spare time, I can just imagine... We spend a day watching half a season, record on it, spend the next day recording the other half, get time to edit, and that's an episode or two.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. A week
or whatever, just on that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So anything else on this? We're good?
We're good.
Cool. Okay, the box in front of me now is the DC Legion of Collectors. Let's pay particular attention on this one because I think we've been finding that the world's finest has been filling the DC void of... Mm-hmm. boxes for me, and this one may get cut. I don't know.
If you recall, tell me, is this Funko powered?
Yes.
Yes.
And a lot of them, so, but the Invisible Jet one we got was a winner.
That's
so
very true.
They've had a few that were home runs.
That's true.
But they've had a lot that were just, okay.
And part of that is being Funko heavy and we're not Funko collectors.
I might be a little more into the Funko if I had a large area to go display them in or something, but I don't.
Yeah.
All right. This box is the standard size for it, which is about 11 and a half inches by about a little over 7 inches by 6 inches. 6 inches there, yeah. So decent amount of volume for that. Not featherweight, but not heavy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Put the answer key aside so we don't cheat.
Man.
And, all right, on the top, I should have mentioned this before. I mentioned it before we recorded. There was a silhouette that I thought was Nightwing.
Yes, you told me.
I didn't tell them.
Well, I get that, but I'm just confirming that you're telling them what you told me.
Now, on the inside of the box, custom art for this time is around the new Teen Titans. We've got Nightwing, Cyborg, Raven. Let's see. Did I say Starfire already?
No.
I would have expected Changeling.
Why are they labeling people?
This is promotional art, and a lot of it is stuff that they use for highlighting the character or whatever.
I guess my point is usually they don't label the characters. Usually if you didn't tell me, I'd have no idea, but this time they labeled the characters.
I think it's the type of promotional art they were doing at the time.
Okay.
Some of the stuff really dates back way back, and I don't know that this was Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. I sometimes cram that all together and I shouldn't. Who is a phenomenal artist. I would say everybody who has set foot in a Target, Walmart kind of thing and seen DC superhero stuff over the last 30 or 40 years has seen his art, whether they know it or not.
Oh, okay.
Because it's iconic and stuff. And what DC did at one point is not only have him do a lot of the, hey, here's some stuff you can use for advertising or whatever, but things they could use for house ads to where they could promote various characters or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a point where they would have a lot of these sorts of things just either in the comics or in like a Who's Who kind of a deal or whatever. And I don't think any of these would have been from Who's Who, but again, it's a marketing thing.
Yeah, makes sense.
Unsurprisingly, the Funko Pop we get this time is Nightwing in the classic original George Perez costume.
Very blue.
Sometimes referred to as the disco outfit.
I can see that.
It's got the blue, it's got the yellow wing type stuff. This is what he moved to from Robin in 1984-85 time frame.
Okay.
It
says it's a box exclusive. I always wonder how long they're exclusive to the box.
I'm curious about that too. This is one where I know they've done the various Robins and such.
Mm-hmm.
And Nightwing's one of my favorite characters. So getting all the different Robins and stuff would be fun.
Yeah, it would be.
The other thing on the back of the box in the collect them all category is obviously Batman, Batgirl in, I think, her purple outfit. Again, classic Barbara Gordon version. Cyborg, Power Girl, which is an odd one to put on this. Black Manta, which is an even stranger one. But the other one that makes a lot of sense and I'd actually kind of like to get is Jericho, I believe. No, wait, that's not Jericho. Man, my eyesight's bad. That's actually Supergirl.
John!
Jericho was the other character who was introduced at the same time as okay. Nightwing cutting over, though. And failing eyesight, tiny picture.
I'm almost going to give that to you because it's like less than an inch tall and microprint, but still.
Yeah. Well, microprint logo-y.
Yes.
It's not even print.
Yeah.
All right. The t-shirt we've got is a black one. It is Beast Boy, Changeling or whatnot, who is a key member of the new Teen Titans.
It's not Funko Popped art.
No, it's not. It's actually very nice art. Who would the artist of this have been? It's got a slight manga influence. I don't think it's George Perez art. Doesn't look like Garcia Lopez either. I'm curious. It's really nice. It's got Changeling or Beast Boy as a tiger and also in the flesh. He was a character that was a member of the Doom Patrol, and then when they did the new Teen Titans and revamped them, that was one of the established characters that was not Teen Titan before, but the teen member of another group that they pulled in, and they introduced a couple of new characters such as Cyborg, Raven, and Starfire. But Cyborg, Starfire, Raven, and Beast Boy and Robin are the core of the Teen Titans on Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go, the cartoon. Which hopefully has been fairly lucrative for Marv Wolfman and George Perez, who did that series. Which really is what put DC on the map back in the 80s. Now, this is an action figure. It is part of I guess it's by Funko. It reminds me of the React figures. Except this one actually has joints at the elbows and knees.
I was curious.
It's a really tiny Nightwing. And by tiny, I mean
3 inches?
3 3/4, almost 4. Now, in that era of the new Teen Titans, he had a girlfriend. Girlfriend was Starfire. The other figure we have is Starfire.
And they both have the stickers saying they're exclusive to the box.
Mm-hmm. I think DC is doing a bit of a push on the new Teen Titans right now for a couple of reasons. One, all of this. Two, there's statues that kind of sort of do something similar to the iconic look of those characters or whatnot that are actually really nice, but they're expensive, so I'm not going to get them. And again, if I had somewhere to display, I might, but I shouldn't. But there's also the Titan series coming up on, I think it's going to be on the streaming service DC's going to do, but it could be on somewhere else, I forget, that Minka Kelly from Charlie's Angels and a few other things is going to play Dove. Alan Rickman, I think it was, who played Aquaman, Arthur Curry on Smallville, is going to play Hawk. They've cast somebody for Robin, a bunch of others. So it's not exactly this era, but it's close to. So I think we're going to see more, hopefully, of the classic sort of iconic new Teen Titans. Not to be confused, of course, with the original Teen Titans. Many of the same characters, not all. And that was back when it was the 60s. You know, you've got older people doing the hip swing and jive talk.
Nice.
Titans are a favorite series of mine.
Are they groovy?
This is a really nice cover.
on a comic book.
I'll have to open it up to see what it actually is, because there's nothing on it. I imagine it's New Teen Titans or something. But it's got, at the bottom center, a circle with the Titans Tower. Mm-hmm. Around that, on one side, it's got Kid Flash. The other side, it's got Cyborg. Swinging down in the middle is Robin. Above Kid Flash is Starfire. Above Cyborg is Wonder Girl. Behind Robin is Raven. Off kind of between Cyborg, or between Kid Flash and Starfire is a really small changeling, classic membership. But above them, we've got some of their mentors and foes of Flash, Batman, Wonder Woman for the mentors. The foes of Deathstroke the Terminator and Trigon, which is the demonic father of Raven, and then one of the aliens from where the Omega Men is from, the Vega system, I think it is. I think it's one of the race of aliens that had imprisoned Starfire. And it's beautiful art. It might have a really tiny in the bottom right corner signature, but it's white on a light background that I couldn't make out.
Paul, maybe the first name starts with a W, and it looks like 2017.
Not sure. Curious. Beautiful art.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, it's, like I said, it's not George Perez, but it's in the realm.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like Phil Jimenez, but it's, like I said, beautifully done. We'll check the answer key in just a second. The other thing we have is a patch for the Legion of the Collectors of Teen Titans with Cyborg.
Nice.
No pin. They stopped doing that a month or two back?
I'd have to look.
We've talked about how some of them are, so-so, some of them are home runs. For me, this is a definite home run.
Yeah, I mean, the shirt was very good. The comic book is clearly very good.
I love that. That's a Funko Pop I would actually consider putting on my desk at work.
Yeah.
Phil Jimenez is the artist on the cover. All right. The signature, again, not in a very easily readable position.
No, and we've got behind the plastic, which has sharp glare.
The other figures they did are Raven and Cyborg. And a note here that there might just be a chance to complete the set soon. Interesting. I wonder if that means we'll get another box with some in, or if it's a chance to get it. It is, by the way, the comic is New Teen Titans number one.
I wonder if they'll email you an offer to buy the ones you didn't get.
Certainly it would be tempting.
In other words, I doubt they kept track of which figures went in which boxes.
Yeah. Or they may have only done the Nightwing Starfire this time, and next time around they could do Cyborg and Raven.
Yeah.
So there's that. Again, this one's a home run for me. Very happy with it. Next time around, we're getting, it looks like, characters from Green Lantern. This particular art happens to be featuring Guy Gardner and Jon Stewart, but it was probably from whichever title they were in at the time. Probably Green Lantern Corps, if I had to guess. Seems like a familiar cover. But I'm a fan of the Green Lanterns. What I would expect out of that, what I'd like out of that, is at one point they did the little rings for the different ones.
Yes.
That would be cool to do something along those lines. The other thing DC Direct did at one point, and they've stopped doing a lot of things I've found cool enough to buy, but these I got the whole set of nine. They did 1/6 scale lanterns.
Ah, nice.
So I've got all of them. And at some point, I will have a place that has enough room that I can actually do some nice displays of this stuff.
Yeah.
And the lanterns and the rings are one of them.
Yeah.
I kind of envision a glass display case kind of a thing. One area would have the various Power Ranger morphers or whatnot. One would have the different rings and the power battery with a, in case of intergalactic emergency, break glass.
There you go. Yeah.
Scratched out. Open case. Get
rid. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very pleased with this. This is cool stuff.
This was a good box.
They've also done, remember the old Mego action figures I used to get as a kid?
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, 80s.
That's what I wish these were.
They have these characters in that version. Matter of fact, they've got most of the Challenge of the Super Friends or Super Friends era stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at one point, was really close to pulling the trigger on, you know what? I'll just get them all. But it comes down to, where would I put them?
Yeah.
If I had somewhere to display that kind of stuff, I would totally go, not all in.
Yeah, but it'd be worth thinking
pretty
about
heavy
at that
in. Because like in one of the last previews, they were offering Xan, Jaina, and Gleek, as well as Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. I don't know if they had Wonder Dog or not. But even the Junior Super Friends.
Yeah.
That's one where I'd like to have big kind of a poster above of the Hall of Justice with a meanwhile in the Hall of Justice kind of caption, and below that have all the figures.
Yeah.
So someday. Anything else on this one? Or are we good?
We're good.
Okay, the package in front of me now is from Arctify. It's one of their flat 8.5 inch by 11 or whatever. Standard size Arctify thing in bright, shiny, blindingly silver.
It's a standard astronaut meal that we are ready to open and devour.
So stunning of the packaging, I can't even speak. Again, reclosable Ziploc-ish sort of thing in case you need somewhere to store your shirt, I guess. I don't know.
It's upside down to your right in front of the green and white box. A tiny little white thing that.
Oh, that's what flew out. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a tiny postage stamp, maybe four times the size of a postage stamp, or twice as big, twice as wide. I am Arctify thing.
They want you to know what their Facebook is in case you want to see them there, or tag them there. Same with Twitter and I suppose Instagram. It's a black shirt.
Now, one of the ones we'd gotten previously was a Black Panther shirt. This is another Black Panther shirt. It's a kind of a slate black, I guess would be the way to put it, with a full body Black Panther kind of looking forward sort of menacingly or whatever.
Yeah.
It's nice.
You need the light right to see it, but when you see it, he comes out of that shadow and he's ready to attack you.
Well, and the blue outline around the character is part of what makes him pop off. Otherwise, he would just blend into the background.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And there's something on the back.
It is him standing... full costume in kind of a standard pose with the arms down at the side looking menacingly. To me, that's the sort of shot I would have used for an original old school Handbook of the Marvel Universe.
I'm curious about the yellow on the back. It looks like it might be a little bit not necessarily glow in the dark, but like the way our shirts used to shine when we went into the parts of the Disneyland rides. Oh, like the
black lightish sort of a thing? At some point, I'll have to get a black light so we could test that sort of theory.
Yeah, I
doubt
this.
It's that way, but I don't know. And of course, with the Black Panther movie coming out in two weeks.
Very cool.
I already had one coworker say, you must see this. I know you see movies later. See this in the theater.
It's nice to have coworkers who care.
Yes. Yes, it does. Again, good shirt. I still think the other one's a little cooler because it's a little darker black, a little more subtle or whatever.
Yeah.
But this one's really nice, and I think it'll be really popular, particularly... with all what I think is positive buzz around the upcoming movie.
Yeah, I agree. Man,
I hope that movie's a smash success.
And for about $12.50, I think it's a great price.
For the shirts, yeah. It's actually maybe even a hair under that. I'd have to go check what I was charged last time. But it's right around the $12 mark, maybe somewhere between $11 and $13.
Yeah.
So anything else on this?
I think you're good.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.